CliffCentral.com.
I made myself a promise. I said that if I ever were to start a show in the morning, I started off with some Kanye. You know why? Because people graduate, but be still stupid. They tell you read this, eat this, don't look around, just peep this, preach this. Welcome everybody. This is pretty much the morning show, and yes, you are not chilling out with Gareth Cliff and the crew. My name is Zikho Mapanga, and we're pretty much doing the takeover. This is what I call it. I'm calling it the morning takeover on the Gareth Cliff show. Welcome. You are chilling and at Cliff Central. And we're very, very happy to have you here today. Obviously, I'm never alone. I'm always like with my partner. Yeah, she's just arrived in the studio. This guy is always exactly on time every single week. I can't even make sense of it anymore. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you know what? Let me help you out. And you tell me if you know who this is. Just as soon as I can find out. There we go.
I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Woo! Way too long. So let me express.
So deep.
What if we could have achieved things if only we asked? Like if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have broads in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? Or would they shoot me if I put my hands up? You see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. Cause I've seen them line up at Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me, why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me. And I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. Because it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical. But all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical. But it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles? I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours. So I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own dreams. Cause I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. Ooh. But I've got the whole squad with me.
Whole squad.
And I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But part of me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. Brah. For on the poet.
What? One more time. What's up, homie?
I'm all good, though. Who is that guy? That guy sounds like he should run for president.
Yo, that guy sounds like V the everything. Oh! Guy I know. I don't know if you know him, though, but he's pretty sick.
Shout out.
You know?
Yeah, man. Thank you for that, bro. Appreciate that intro. That's dope, man.
Anytime. Like we said, it's the Gareth Cliff Show. It's pretty much the takeover.
Yeah.
You know what I call it? I call it taking back the land.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like right up your alley, right? Taking right back the land.
First we take it virtually, and then we take it physically.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. That's really, this is where we start. This is where we start. We take over here, and after this, we just start moving into the land. I don't know what I'm saying, though. I own the land, isn't it? According to my race.
Nah, fuck that. So we've taken over the show. We've taken over Touch's horn.
Y'all never getting it back. You're never getting it back.
It's done. It's a wrap.
It's over. I feel like you know, this. We got a couple of cool guests coming through today.
Yeah, it's gonna be lit. It's gonna be lit.
Yeah, it's gonna be lit. I was trying to get our one guest coming in who's a rapper. I was trying to get him in early. But I feel like the only rapper you can depend on when it comes to time is Fikile Mbalula, dog.
Yeah, DJ Mbalula.
That's the only rapper that comes anywhere on time.
You know what? I think everybody's doing this. I'm going to play like some relevant bed music. Listen to this.
Ash.
That's what they're doing. This is the problem.
It's true, though. Everybody's hustling.
Like everybody, all day.
They're trying. The thing is, you know what the problem is, man? It's like, time, bro. Time in these guys' worlds don't exist. Just execution exists. You feel me? So it's like, if they get there and they get it done, regardless if they were an hour late, that's what counts to them. So it's interesting, man. It's like, I think it's the entertainment industry in general. South Africans, bro, we suck with time. Well, at least the South Africans I know.
No, that's what we call African time, though, right?
Yeah, but there's a new one. South African time is even different, bro.
But I'm so surprised because, like, you always, like, get it, like, on the line. Like, yeah, every time you come to the studio, you come exactly at the right time.
Yeah, I feel like that's what helps me best. If I just, when I rock up, right?
Yeah.
Just on time.
Yeah.
And I just do my thing.
Yeah.
Without thinking too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. That's
sick.
It kind of works easier for me.
And I feel like, because, I mean, And this is the thing, like, this is the thing about working with such a dynamic group, right?
Yeah.
Because on one hand, like, I'm looking at you. So for you that don't know, I'm talking, this is V, the everything. Go check him out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
You know what it is.
You're always, like, walking the fine line, Vaughn.
Yeah, bro.
I even had this is the last week, right, on Touch Central.
Yeah.
One of the producers there, like she comes to me, right?
Oh, yeah.
She comes to me, she's like, yo, listen. I'm like, what's up? It's like, Vaughn, yeah. It's like, is he white? Like, literally, and I'm like, yeah. It's what? He's like, nah, but like, he's not like yeah. you're not pale, like, no, Aria, really. You're not like Aria, you know,
like,
I mean?
I'm a dog white.
Yeah, it's just like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, nah, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And like, all right, cool, no, yeah. Fine. When he comes through, we'll ask him.
Even his namesake, or Gareth Cliff, was saying the same shit to me, bro. He was like, the problem is people think you're white. That's the problem with you. So I don't know if that's a problem. I'm disguising myself really well in Africa, bro. Let me be and point me out.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Nah, but anyway, man, I can't believe it's the end of the year, bro. How much stuff has happened this year? Like, I think we're not gonna speak to anyone until 2017, right? We literally
No, you're gonna speak to someone. You got the show tomorrow.
Oh yeah, Thursday. I'm on the show tomorrow. Shout out.
One
shout
man,
out.
You're gonna do it like a beast, son.
Nah, bro, come on, dog. That's me, bro.
Is that
you? Know what I'm saying? That's me. I can handle that shit one man. I can talk shit for 3 hours. So I'm gonna be talking to you guys tomorrow, but I think you're not gonna be here. Sim's already tapped out. Where's a Ben tapped out? Where's a Ben doing his thing?
Yeah.
So it feels like it's the end of the year for me, bro. It feels like it's a new year.
So pretty much, I mean, I don't know, I've been speaking to a lot of artists during the course of the December holidays, and it seems like literally everybody in the creative industry, at least everybody making like significant moves, everybody's working these holidays. Like, I hear very few, it's only like you know, like farts like me that have a 9-to-5 that are going on holiday. But everybody else is really grafting, are really doing the most.
Yeah,
I mean, those guys, they're still going.
That's true, dog. I haven't taken a break this whole December, but it's also because like December's like, you know, for my main business, or one of my main businesses, you know, it's our prime time. It's like when we have to really capitalize. So we've been traveling a lot, bro. We've been up and down and whatnot, and going to different gigs. And
so this is pretty much like your bonus season, basically. Like when we get bonuses, you guys get bonuses.
Yeah, but the difference is like we got to work hella hard in a month to get that bonus. We got to be everywhere, dog.
Yeah.
To just capitalize. But it's been cool, man. It's whatever. You know, it's part of life. It's part of the job. I don't think of it like that anymore. It's just cool that in a way, it's like as you grow up, December. Well, in my life, December's just meant something else for me. I just got to find another space for holiday, which is like end of Jan or something.
It's such a mind twist.
Yeah.
And that's what like, I find it so difficult. So I mean, me, like, obviously, I'm in a bank, like with all the other farts in the suits. But like, to go here and then transition to here, it's two completely different worlds.
Yeah, you're switching between the two all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you. So if you check out Vaughn on Snapchat, I mean, Aria was saying this. Pretty much you come alive in the nighttime.
Yeah, pretty much, bro. That's what happens. It's crazy. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like, how do I say it? Like for the last 6 months, it feels like my life starts at around 10 p.m. And then we got to get stuff done till about 3 a.m. and then I'm back to bed, and then I got to, on certain days in the week I've got to be up at about 7 to go back to go to one of my clients' offices. And so it's been like a hectic year. But I mean, that's just in my space, bro. I can imagine everyone out there's had a hectic year too. Have you been seeing the memes about 2016? How everybody talks about, dude, like how they just can't wait to let go.
I think jumping straight into that, I think we're going to go into current affairs. What we're going to do is we're going to reminisce, right?
Okay.
So in News 24, we're going to reminisce on what happened in 2016. So we're going to stop talking about our industries.
Oh, damn. Do they have a whole reminisce article?
Yeah, they got all
of that. Oh, damn, bro. Because do they go all the way back to January?
You know, they actually don't go all the way. I'm so disappointed in this article.
That's like the biggest memory of 2016.
They go, like if I read it, they go all the way back to September. So it's just, it's just like very recent stuff.
Like Penny Sparrow?
She's too far back. But we're going to reminisce. We're going to add on to the list ourselves.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do them.
Yeah, because nobody cares about our industry.
Yeah, let's do that.
So anyway.
Let's do that.
All right, cool. So let me break it down. So I'm reading this article. So it's pretty much News 24.
Yeah.
And we're starting in December, right? So I think the biggest thing is in December, the South African gospel singer, Sifiso Ncwane, dies following a short illness, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously his family said that Mgulinye Baba, hit maker, had been diagnosed with kidney failure. So, I mean, the crazy thing about this guy, I mean, he's a gospel singer and he died at the age of 37.
Sure.
Like, that is super young.
That's
37.
That's incredibly young, bro. That's incredible. And he's a gospel singer.
Gospel singer and it was kidney
failure.
That's
crazy. Like, rappers are actually living to like 60.
And they're cool. They're doing everything they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, they're doing everything they're not supposed to be doing. This guy, like, obviously, as a gospel singer. But that's just an assumption, though. I mean, I don't know. You never really know. But still, that's sad, man. Terribly sad.
So, I mean, that was definitely one of the very big news. And then, obviously, just recently now, George Michael just passed away.
George Michael?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
It was all over MTV Base and all that. I think he passed away on the weekend, I think on Saturday.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Damn.
It was a big thing, dog. Like, well, you see, you guys work too hard. You come alive in the nighttime.
The thing is, George Michael is a legend. So that kind of shocks me. I'm always on social media and on the internet. So that kind of sucks that I missed that. I was on Saturday?
It was on Saturday.
Damn, bro. What? I don't know what I've been doing. At least you guys saw and you guys paid a thought for
it. And I mean, that guy, he was also like super, I think he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
That was the scary part.
Yeah, George Michael wasn't old, eh?
He wasn't old at all.
So what's happening? People are knocking off early.
Jeez. So I mean, this is depressing. Like, I'm so...
Do you think like the general lifespan of people is just shortening?
I think it depends on your lifestyle. I think statistically, if you look at it, people are actually living longer.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Longer?
People are living longer, but people are having fewer kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in general, I remember there was one of my sister's course doing psychology.
Okay.
So people are living for longer because they're taking better care of themselves. They're going to the gym. There's Pilates. There's yoga. There's all these funny different things, right?
Mm.
So they're taking better care of themselves, but they are having fewer and fewer kids. And in fact, and I know we're sidetracking here for a little bit, but like, just bear with me. There was this one article that literally said that smart people are rendering themselves obsolete. The reason being, or wealthy people rather, the reason being is that they find that if you had a higher LSM, people in a high LSM will typically have like 2-3 kids max. And then people in the lower LSM, so people like that just below the breadline, are literally having like 5, 6, 7 kids.
Yo, that's crazy.
So if you're like a rich billionaire fart out in Cape Town, there's a really high probability that like the guy that your daughter's gonna marry is gonna be someone from poverty.
Oh.
Because literally the rich are getting fewer.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm thinking about that.
And in fact, a lot of them
are getting fewer because they're having lesser kids.
Yeah.
That's sure. That's crazy.
Right.
Watch one rich guy we listen to is like, damn, I gotta switch this up.
Yeah, real quick.
It's like, yo, baby, come here.
Real quick.
I gotta bang out 5 of these guys. That's interesting though. So the richer people have lesser kids. What do you think that's got to do with the level of education? Do you think it's smarter to have less kids?
Do you know what it is? It's a couple of things, right? So one, they're having fewer kids, right?
Yeah.
Two, they're having kids much later. So if I look at myself, for example. Okay. I keep telling people, like, keep freaking out, but I keep telling people, I want to have my first kid at like, no, I'm going to get married at 35, probably like my first kid at like 40.
Yeah.
You know? And it's because like, people in the high LSM, they want to do more with their careers, you know? They want to go out there, they want to take over, they want to do as much as they can with the time that they have. You know, they want to build their careers. That's now their main focus.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I can't speak for people in lower LSMs, but you find that people in the lower LSMs, but it's a lot of things, dude. Like, there's so many pressures, the signature pregnancies, all these type of things. So they're having kids earlier, and they're having more kids at the same time.
Damn.
Right?
So, yeah. I think I'm going to fall into the... I'm not going to have a lot of kids. I can tell you that much. Shout out to anyone that's got a lot of kids. You guys have a lot of patience. And you guys, I don't know if you drink a lot of wine and if you make a lot of mistakes. But
we don't envy you.
But if you are, no, I don't really want to have a lot of kids because I feel like a lot of kids means I got to do a lot of fathering. And I'm trying to like do the fathering thing like once or twice and get it right. I'm not trying to do it like 3-4 times because I feel like that's the kind of guy I'll be. I'll be like, okay, well, kind of fucked up this one, but maybe the next one I'll get right, which is obviously not the right approach. But I mean, that could be typically me. Like, oh damn, I shouldn't have really done that as a dad. Fuck, next one I'll get it right. I don't want to move like that.
Speaking on that, right? Because we've had some depressing news. So speaking on parenting, some parent that did get it right, right?
Yeah.
Is the parents of a Pure Maritzburg pupil, Lusanda Chamane, who received a scholarship to attend the Oprah Winfrey Leadership School Academy for Girls in 2017.
Oh, well, that sounds powerful.
So that's like a nice highlight, right?
Yo, man, she got a full scholarship?
Yeah, dog, she's doing the most.
So that's fire, because you know how many, you know how expensive, you know how expensive university is? Y'all still haven't cut nothing, man. People need to get educated. So shout out to him.
And that's another very big story. So I mean, so Ruby, one of our interns here at Club Central, she's gone now. She's gone to Zimbabwe. She's traveling a little bit.
She's dope.
She was pretty much telling us that the universities, all of them, pretty much increased their fees after the guys were done with exams and they'd gone home, so they can't have any protests. But according to her, some inside information. So listen out, y'all. Apparently, the guys are planning for a huge. Protest.
Oh, like a riot?
Yeah, straight after registration.
Next year?
So all the guys going to register, right? So they follow the university, and then it's going to go down.
We all start the year like that, right?
Yeah.
Don't we always start the year like that?
We don't want to start the year like that, but the thing is like...
But we've been starting the year like that.
It's starting to become tradition now.
I was about to say, it's like in South Africa, New Year's is like this, firecrackers, and then... Riot. Yeah, that's crazy. But you know what, man? I feel like at the end of the day, if things don't change or if we don't find some common ground to understand each other from both sides, perhaps, or there's a meeting place we can come to, I don't think it's gonna change, man. Like, yo, the thing with protests and the thing with riots that it kind of disheartens me is that both ends of a riot generally have two extremely different viewpoints.
Yeah.
And they're both very passionate about those viewpoints or very certain about those viewpoints. And it's not easy to find a common ground when people have that mentality. I feel like when we riot and when we protest and when you're on the receiving end of a riot or a protest, I think you kind of need to really be open to outcomes and open-minded enough to maybe find a way to discuss these things to come up with a solution, together. Because without that, I think there's always going to be unrest. And when there's unrest, there's always going to be a noisy guy that's going to stand up and say something and a whole lot of other silently noisy people that are going to follow that person. So it's not like we're going to escape these things until we find a way how to deal with them. I want to say deal with them. On a in a way that's mutually beneficial or mutually understood. That would be an ideal situation, because right now it just feels like two people bashing heads and just not really getting hurt. I don't know.
But I mean, doesn't the leadership come into play then? So I mean, like, you know, I'll give you an example. Like in high school, you know, if there were ever like, you know, an issue between a pupil and a teacher, you'd expect the teacher to be the better person, you know, and to be objective and to try and solve the situation. In university as well, lecturer versus...
Yeah.
And so now that's why I'm so confused now, because, I mean, that's the whole point of leadership, right, Vaughn?
I feel you, bro. And I think, like, well, I don't know. This is just me in my life. I came to realize that... relying on a teacher, well, going back to teachers, you know, relying on a teacher to to sort of, well, how do I say it? Relying on a teacher to show me the right way, or relying on a teacher to be the bigger person, the better person. Yo, bro, I always fell short with that. I always felt like some of the most immature people I ever met were my adults. Were adults, yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on for 2 seconds. Oh, hold on, I didn't even do that properly.
You got the sound. No, you know why? Because I feel like maybe it was just me being arrogant and young when I was growing up, but I always felt like at some point my teachers and the people that were older than me, you know, not every single one of them, but a whole lot of them in my life growing up, always came across as like way too emotional about certain topics. Like people couldn't speak about things objectively to a young person who's like 17.
I hear you.
Especially like a young person that was outspoken or had thoughts or has like opinions on certain things. A lot of my teachers felt like they couldn't handle that, and it always ended up in an argument, of which I was completely sometimes wrong, you know, for starting. But at the same time, I thought, but if you're a teacher, like you're supposed to be able to handle kids like me, otherwise you shouldn't be a teacher. You know, and I think I said that once to a teacher, and that didn't end up well. It didn't end up well. But yeah, that's like the analogy I draw with leadership too in South Africa, because I feel like we all look to our leaders to really provide us with solutions and ways forward. But like, as history has shown us, I don't even think if they're capable of that. I don't even think if it's, maybe not the word, maybe capable is not the word, but I don't even think they're wired like that. You know, they're kind of in those positions for reasons that seem to be to benefit themselves and the people around them, as opposed to the kids in the streets and the kids in the lecture halls. So that's what it comes across as. If it's a misrepresentation, then you know what, then correct me in your life. Don't talk to me. Don't talk shit. Show me.
You said a mouthful, man. And I guess what it comes down to is maybe because we, I don't know. Maybe you think maybe we put too much pressure on teachers. Maybe we
expect too much.
We expect too much.
You think so?
Because at the end of the day, they're all human, right? And if I think about it, in South Africa now, I don't know. I always had the feeling, you know, when I was in school, I always had the feeling that like 10% of the teachers were there because they loved teaching and that was their passion, and the other 90 were there because they needed a job.
I feel like you're right. I feel like jobs like that, and jobs like being a politician, and you know, anything that's got to do with shaping someone's future, I think that's really got to be a passion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if you do that without it being a passion, it's kind of like a scheme. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. It's weird, man. I can't work in something where I'm not completely passionate about the outcomes of what I do. I'm not saying that politicians and teachers aren't, but I am saying that sometimes the way, you know, they conduct themselves, well, in my direct encounters, I feel like they weren't passionate about the outcomes. Because you can't be passionate about the outcomes and be telling kids out there that you ain't gonna be shit. You know, if you carry on like this, you're never going to achieve.
Yeah.
Like what kind of positive outcome are you expecting from that kind of conversation, ma'am?
What a bunch of dicks, actually.
Sir, what's wrong with you, sir? Because, I mean, there were times in school, man, where I felt like I would just like to take the bullet for kids that I felt like couldn't speak up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I always used to do that. Like, if I felt something was unfair, trust me, bro, I used to damage teachers with that. Because for me, I don't like when people take advantage of certain types of people that are a little shy or a little reserved, you know? So,
and that's bullying in a way, right?
Yeah. And I used to fight with them about that, man. And I feel like that happens in politics too, man. You fucking politicians make me tired. I look at you guys like talking to people and like swindling and scheming and conniving your way into power, you know, and using the people that don't really want to, but some people just can't think in a different way. And you manipulate those people's thoughts so that you can get your way. I mean, come on, bro. What kind of Game of Thrones is this?
Absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely.
That's, I don't know. For me, when I look at it, that's exactly what I see.
Bro, I don't think absolute power should exist in South Africa specifically, man. I think the only way there is a bit of stability in this country is because our democracy is in sort of full, like a full-fledged type of, you know, well, it's in its it's getting into its sort of maturity
yeah.
phase. We like this is the first elections where there was almost like our democracy really came into practice.
Yeah,
you know, like the ANC put under pressure, the EFF rise, and the DA grew. Like that's a very good representation of what democracy should be like.
In fact, so someone was telling me that like we'll know we have a truly democratic South Africa once when you go to the voting polls, no one knows who will win.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
Like. We should be waiting anxiously to see who wins, because I think then our country is in a space where our democracy is in practice. But that also creates a big problem. See, this is the thing. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to have we're always going to have problems when it comes to politics and people. Because if you imagine you've got such a close three-way split between three parties, that means when you win, half of the country doesn't actually want you there. So you got to govern a country where 50% of the people did not vote for you, which is not an easy task. You feel me? So like that's what happens in the States. Half of this, like when I see the Republicans and Democrats, it's always like 50, 55, 40. So that means like literally 55% of the people did not vote for you. That means you got to govern 55% of Americans
that do not want you.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that at the same time. Like that's why like Socrates has this. This philosophy that he writes on, and he says that, and he was a Greek guy, you know, the Greeks founded democracy, and he was killed, he was assassinated because he used to actually speak up against democracy. He never believed in it. He says because in our lives there's always a truth, we should always live to find the truth and seek the truth, that way we'll be living a good life, right?
Yes.
But he says the problem with democracy is that just because the majority of people say something doesn't mean it's the truth. So, yeah, it complicates the idea of democracy. Sometimes the majority of people might share collective conscience or collective understanding that this may be the right way, so therefore they vote. But in the bigger picture, when you take yourself completely out of yourself and look at it objectively, was it the truth? And is it the truth? And is it the actual way forward?
So it's pretty much where the saying comes. There's my side of the story, there's your side of the story, and there's the truth.
That's it, bro. Exactly. And your side of the story might be EFF, mine might be ANC. But what's the truth? You know what I'm saying? Which one of them is the truth?
So speaking about politics, right? And people voting, people pretty much making their voices heard. Another article, obviously, was around the fact that Zuma, right, was of the opinion that religious leaders must rise above political issues.
Oh, yeah.
So according to him, people of the religious faction should pretty much stay out of... politics and let the politicians deal with it. How do you feel about that?
I strongly agree with leaving religion out of politics completely. I don't think any religion should be put into law. I think when religion governs law, we see problems, like big problems. I think that your religion should be
like the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I don't think Christianity should govern law in the country. I don't think that Hinduism or Islam should govern the law in a country. I wouldn't want to live in a country that does that. And I don't. But I think it's just. I think it causes a lot of problems, man. For me personally, I think your religion is something that you do your thing at your house, man. You believe in what you believe in and you live your life like that. I don't think it's ever a wise thing ever to place what you believe in on other people as if it is the norm, as if it's law. I think that's that's arrogant as hell, dog. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you have some very strong opinions on this.
Yeah, bro. These are the type of things that I think about, because it's life. Like, I look at the world and I think so many people are fighting. So many people are against each other. And you look at those things and it's because it comes from a place where they were never really taught, or I don't believe they were ever taught to be sort of objective, humble enough people to accept that nobody is the same, and like people are different, and we should actually appreciate the differences and see where we can learn from each other, as opposed to like shy away from them and like shun them. It's weird.
So speaking about religion, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'll agree with me in here or not, but I feel like if we take churches, right, so we'll take the Christian faith, right, because we're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Are they what they used to be? Because if I look at how these places operate, right, they literally have, they have a marketing department, they have an HR department, yeah, they have mission values.
It's crazy.
They, I mean, they're a fully fledged business that does not pay tax, essentially.
Yeah, that, but that's exactly it, bro. Like, I was saying this about politicians too. I was like, you went and created a logo, you went and created... Damn, do you hear that beach in the background? That was,
yeah,
that was the beach coming off my laptop.
Hello.
What's happening? I know I'm not there, guys. I'm supposed to be there. It's my bad. I'm actually in the studio. No, what I was saying is the churches, we're talking about how the church, are the churches still the same? I don't know, man. I don't know if the churches have changed or if I've just changed, because I've started looking at things. I started looking at things a little differently since I turned about, I'd say about 20 years old. I started thinking that, I don't know, man, people are taking this religion thing a little far, because now I'm seeing churches have logos, churches have India parties, churches have like going away camps. You know, it's getting tricky, man. It's getting tricky, because when I was in school, bro, it was like a different feeling. I felt like, but then again, when I was in school, I was probably naive.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So have churches changed or have I changed? I think it's a little bit of both, but when I look at it, it could be a lot of my realization of certain structures. So like, I don't really go to church anymore, because I found it to make me feel awkward, because at the same, because of things like, yo, bro, these days they got like huge productions and dances and all these things that are going on,
it's,
and I'm thinking,
theater.
It's theater, bro. And at the same, and then I'm thinking, like, you know, the other day I sat there, I was like, I was watching people like be in church and kind of like, you know how people get caught in the moments in praise and worship and those type of things, and they fall over and they like cry and they feel passionate, they jump and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yo, man, I've seen the same thing happen at like an Eminem concert. because.
Come on. Hold on. Yeah, no, for sure. No, you're right. Yeah, it is what it is.
The reason I say that, though, is because I think, I've seen it, man. You know, when you create ambience, when you create atmosphere, when you have energy, when you create a vibe, people fall into the vibe. So when they say it's the Holy Spirit that's taking over them and knocking them out and making them jump and laugh and feel... I don't know, man, because I've seen it happen outside of a religious context, the exact same thing. Music can do that to you. Music and vibes and people's energy can really take you to ecstasy.
And that's why I keep telling people, people always tell me, like, are you religious? And I'm like, no, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Because who's to say that you, and I know we're taking this very deep, who's to say that you can't feel, you know, the Holy Spirit in inverted commas and all of that? Not in a concert, you know. It's like, you know, today we started off the show with "Good Morning" by Kanye, and I still remember that a controversial year when he dropped "Jesus Walks," and he was supposed to be nominated for a Grammy, in the gospel section, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the guys were like, nah, because it's not gospel. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm talking about Jesus, and, you know, I'm talking about all the good things.
Yeah, so how is it not gospel?
How is it not gospel?
Because it's hip-hop. Because, you know? You see what I mean? Like, it's weird. It's very weird, bro. I think these discussions of religion, they can get very intricate and very complex, specifically when it comes to speaking to people that are, you know... passionate about their religion. It's not to say that I am not someone who believes in anything. Of course I believe in something. I just think that it's, once again, I feel like it's an arrogant thought for us to think that throughout the years things have remained something like the structure of Christianity hasn't been altered or edited to suit a certain objective or to reach a certain goal. Like, it's a very...
At that period of time.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, man, it's such a well-crafted system. if we look at it, because essentially it is. There's phases you go through, man. You get like you go through all these, like you get christened and you get baptized and then you're part of the church and then you become a junior
And then you become one of the
senior elders.
And, yeah.
So that's a system, right?
It is. It's a process. It is.
And that's saying, like, for me to get to know God or for me to be ordained as someone who is a believer, I need to go through some sort of system like I did with school. That sounds weird to me, man, because I can't buy into that. I can't buy into the idea that there's steps I need to take to get closer to God. I think, like, God is us and we are God. Like, that's what I believe. So it's a very well-crafted system, all of them, all religions, right? So I'm speaking about Christianity because where I come from, like, it's my background. So it's ignorant or arrogant to think that in this world, full of these politicians we've been speaking about, full of these people we've been speaking about, right? In this world, somebody hasn't twisted and altered religion to suit a exterior or, like, to suit a certain...
Agenda.
Come on,
not bro. Likely.
Feel me? So, like, that type of thing... When I think of that, I'm like, damn, I don't know if we all just blind or if I'm just over analytical and like over full of shit, but it could be a combination of both.
Because you know, for me, the way I always saw it is that, I don't know, with a lot of churches, and again, only because it's our background, my question was always, how do you separate like a church and a movement from a cult? Because for me, you know, a cult is, okay, this person said this, therefore it's true, you know?
Yeah.
And there's been times where in churches, like, the pastor will say, and I'm like, nah, I don't feel you at that point, you know?
I hear you.
And people get so shocked.
Yeah, but exactly. don't question the pastor, bro. He's closer.
Dude, right?
I can't get this idea that there's a guy that stands on stage and tells me how to live my life. That's a guy, man. That's a guy. I don't think that's like
makes mistakes like everyone else.
You feel me, man? We're all in this thing together. We're never really moving to the beat of anybody else. It's all our own rhythm. And you know, when it comes to religion, yo, man, you gotta learn how to play your instruments. Otherwise, you're gonna get confused because so many people got their own vibe going on. Like I know it's, but that's the thing about me, because I like everybody's beliefs, man. I think if you're not harming people and if you're just believing in what you believe in, that's interesting and that's cool. Like, that makes us different, and that's what life's supposed to be about. We're supposed to be hanging out with people that are different to us. We can't be hanging around with everyone that's the same. And it's the other thing that irritates me. Why do Christian people go to Christian cycling clubs and Christian people go to Christian bars and Christian people go to, like, Christian book clubs? Come on, man. What about the other people, man? You know how many good friends I've got that are not Christian? Come on.
Right? Like, what's up with you guys?
Come on, bro. That's not how we're supposed to be living. You can be Christian and you can move around in the world. Don't isolate yourself. And same thing as Islam and same thing as, you know, Buddhist and all that stuff. I think, like, the more we realize that we are the same than we are different, we'll know peace. You know what I'm saying? Then we'll know peace. Up until then, peace is a myth, though.
And, you know, it's some of these things that, and we've been talking about these things for almost like a year now, right?
Yeah, man.
If I listen to Gav's show, our show, and Aria's show, it's always about how, like, you know, people are always stuck in their own bubble and no one wants to talk to another person. And you know, the whole thing about why privilege is still privilege, because people in the burbs still hang out with people in the burbs.
Yeah.
People in the hood still hang out with people in the hood.
Come on, go hang out in the hood a bit. You know how dope the hood is? The hood,
man,
is fun.
Right?
You can have so much fun in the hood, man. I've met some of the... Bro, like, one of the greatest people I've ever met comes straight from the hood. He's one of the dopest guys I've ever met in my life. He's smart. He's talented. He's got opinions. You know what I'm saying? He comes from the hood, bro, because where you come from is completely irrelevant.
But I mean, but I'm feeling some of these things are even institutionalized, right? So, I mean, if you look at insurances, right? If you live in the hood, your premium will be higher than if you live in the suburbs. But the truth is, there's more of a likelihood of being a victim of crime in the suburb than you are being in the hood.
Yeah, because nobody wants to rob anyone in the hood.
Yeah, ain't nobody trying to rob anybody in the hood.
Yeah, it's like petty stuff in the hood, man. But you know what I was looking at now, and this is like a friendly show. Talking about politics, you know, I think it fits quite nicely. Is that we all know it's December, right? We all know what happens on New Year's and what happens on the beach in Christmas and what goes on in Durban and in Cape Town.
Hello,
yo, man.
Shout out to Pierre.
It's gonna get packed. The beaches are gonna be full. The beaches are going to be full of black people that like to take the first off and swim in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen. So white people, old white ladies, old penny sparrows, and the likes of them, please, please, please do not be shocked and tweet some stupid shit and Facebook some stupid shit. We don't have time to start 2017 like that, all right? You hear me?
And I mean, even speaking about that, right? I actually have an article here, and I'm going to read it real quick, right? So it says that I'm an idiot, says ex-CEO about his racist rant on Facebook. So some idiot, right, a Middleburg businessman, had been forced to resign as a CEO of his own company after a racist rant on Facebook over the weekend. He said a couple of stuff, and then right at the end, he commented, fucking kafirs, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And then at the end, you know, I read this article, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, that was so stupid of me, blah, blah, I was an idiot, blah, blah. Even his brother, like, tries to defend him, blah, blah, but really, we don't give a shit. So that's my thing. Like, people are more woke now, right?
Sure.
I think our generation is like not taking as much shit.
Did he own the company?
He owned the company.
And then he had to
resign from his own company.
From his own section?
Right? And he's in Middleburg.
So who held the disciplinary hearing?
That's a very
good... Probably spoke to himself in the mirror. He's like, you got to resign.
You know?
You got to get your ass out of here.
Because your people aren't even about you, right?
Yeah, you stupid ass. So he had to resign. So he left. And that's because he was blatantly racist.
Yeah. But we've seen this type of thing. I mean, you were saying it now. You were like, you know, people
don't get shocked.
Don't get shocked.
Why are you shocked?
Because it's this country is 80% black.
Bro, come on. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, all of a sudden, white people are like, oh, there's so many black people on the beach. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, we're on holiday too.
Do you know what I mean? Like, stop. You know what I'm saying? Stop Facebooking and tweeting about that stuff, bro. I feel like as South Africans, let's take a step up. You know, let's be a little different this year coming. You know what I'm saying? Please, guys, we can't start 2017 with another Penny Sparrow and a Chris Hart and a come on, bro.
That doesn't even make sense. But I mean, speaking about all this, right? And being woke, right? So we got someone on the line, a very good friend of ours, you know, Gabelo. She's pretty much a very woke person. She's very opinionated. She speaks her mind. And I really want to hear from her perspective, right? In terms of what does she expect happening now in these December holidays, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if we can get on the line.
What does Gabelo? She expect happening with regards to that?
Yeah, let's see if we got on the line. Gabelo?
Gabelo, are you there?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
What happened there?
Sounds like Gabelo got lost in space.
Producer Palesa?
Yo, man, that sounds like something from Star Wars, like R2-D2. Let me see that again. That sounds like a little machine from R2.
But then again, she's in all the way in Limpopo, so like, hello.
Yo, that's what it sounds like out there in Limpopo. That's what it sounds like out there in Limpopo. Cat's waving her finger at us like Limpopo doesn't have bad signal. Like Limpopo sounds like Star Wars. It feels like when you come from Limpopo, you're fluent in Star Wars.
So, I mean, our technical producer, Palesa, will try and get Kabelo back on the line.
Technical producer, Palesa, please make that happen. we need to talk to Kabelo. But yeah, the thing is, what I feel like is that if we start 2017 on the same note we started 2016 on, it's not going to be a pretty story, man, because I feel like we can't go through that in the beginning. Let's ease into the year, you know, let's do things properly. Let's not tweet some irrational shit. Let's not Facebook some irrational shit. And I think at some point what Facebook need to do in South Africa is create like a question that asks you how old are you, or put your birth date in your, or whatever the case is. And if you are a couple of years older than a millennial, or a generation older than a millennial, man, you can't get Facebook.
Wow, that's kind of unfair though, Vaughn.
Like, no.
I feel like that's kind of hectic though.
No. I feel like the older you are on Facebook, the more you think no one's gonna know what you say, so you just go and say whatever you want, and then you're shocked when you trend. You don't even know what trend is. You're like, people heard this? How many people follow me on Facebook? It's not the people that follow you on Facebook, you moron. Yeah. It's the internet, you know what I mean? So I feel like Facebook, put an age limit on this stuff, man. The younger, the better.
Let's see who else feels this way. We'll see if Gabelo feels the same way as Vaughn does. If we can get a hold of her, I don't know. There's funny things happening in Limpopo, but we've always known that. So let's try and find her.
Limpopo is strong. The force is strong.
Gabelo?
The force is too strong with Cabello.
Wow. Okay.
Aye, Cabello, thanks for that. Back to you.
You know, we tried. But I mean, essentially, right? I feel like, I don't know, somebody made this, one of the guys, some research actually made this, this comment lately. They were like, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years in South Africa,
yeah,
right? There's been a negative, there's been a lot of negativity in the air. And it's you know, they were saying mostly because people are noticing more stuff, right?
Mm.
People are less ignorant to certain things.
People are
speaking up more to certain things. So there's a very tense air in the there's a very tense vibe in the air, and you can feel it.
I think so, man. I think people are becoming a little more outspoken because they're sick and tired of seeing all the crap. Like I'm one of those now who just speaks my mind. If I see something that I don't agree with, I just say it, because at the end of the day, if I don't say it on the spot, you know, what life am I really living? And I think that's what people have started to do. They become more in touch with what they believe in, and they're proud of what they believe in.
And bad things happen because people don't do shit about it.
Yeah, and then you're just as bad. If you can watch something bad happen in front of you, like, I don't see you any different to the person that did that bad thing in your eyes. Like, it's you got to try and, you know, man, come on, bro. Like really, let's just be better people.
Okay, so obviously everybody knows it's December, right? So everybody's on holiday. It's I hope you guys all stay there because the roads are so beautiful and empty.
Hey, hey.
Oh my gosh.
I got you in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
There's too many of you people here. I think some of you must just move to Limpopo and maybe we'll get a better signal.
You gotta go practice your robot. You can go speak in Limpopo.
So, and I mean, just myself, we're saying in the beginning of the show, obviously, you'll be taking care of Unplugged and Charged Thursday, 12 to 1.
You know, boom, plug. It is.
I pretty much leave for Mozambique today.
Yeah, you out today. I was about to say that, right?
Yeah, I'm
going
out
with a bang. Like, you're going to go take back the land that's out. Take back the
beaches. Hello. I'm trying to leave the mosquitoes there, though.
Yeah, Mozambique. Portuguese, there's big Portuguese out there.
Yeah, so I'm gonna tell you about my experience at the doctor yesterday, right? So I pretty much get there. Oof, it was such a, I don't know, like the medical profession. Let me just put some proper ambiance to this thing. So the medical profession. I don't know how doctors do it. So I mean, I go to the doctor obviously because I need to get malaria tablets, right? I don't go to Mozambique and come back with malaria or anything.
Yeah.
In my mind, get malaria tablets, you're sorted. You can go out there and live your best life.
Yeah.
As I go to the doctor, she makes my prescription. It's like, okay, so listen, guys. Basically, these tablets, right?
Yeah.
They reduce your risk of getting malaria.
Oh, they reduce the risk.
They reduce the risk. It's not like you're not gonna. It's not impossible to get malaria while you're on the pills.
Oh, damn. It's like what condoms do to AIDS. Well, not AIDS, pregnancy. Like that 98% shit.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
and okay. I'm thinking to myself now, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling a little uneasy now because, you know, I thought it was like such a sure thing. And the mosquitoes have been having so much fun with me this summer.
They've been going in.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, so people put themselves through that. So, I mean, people that go to, like, Ebola areas, like Sierra Leone and all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you might be traveling.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
straight true. Into your detriment. So, like, it's such a mind F.
Yeah, it's like when I went to South America, I had to get a yellow fever.
Shot.
A yellow fever shot, yeah. And even then, they were like, hey, you're still... I was like, yo, you guys are pushing a needle into my arm and you're still telling me some shit.
What?
I don't have time for that, bro. I thought, like, we live in 2016. Like, don't you guys have, like, a little drink I can just sip on to make myself 100% safe? But it doesn't work like that, man. I think nothing in life is 100% safe. It's like when they say, go get your master's and you'll get a job. You know what I'm saying?
Those are such shots.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
It gets
tricky.
Oh, those are such shots fired.
It gets tricky, you know what I'm saying? Get your masters and you get a job. Please, man. There's still a hella chance I don't get one of those.
Get your PhD, you might not even get a job.
Come on, bro. This is a different world we live in, man. People got to recognize. But yeah, the medical profession is a bit of a difficult space, because I read something that marijuana was going to be legalized. In fact, Master G, Gareth Cliff, was telling me that. He was saying that marijuana is going to be legalized, and I thought that's a big step forward in the medical or the medicinal field. Well, even just the social one, you know, like that's a cool thing. I don't know how far along that bill is, or if it's just been voted in, or I don't know. I don't really know what the legal status is, to be honest. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about that being a very big topic for 2016, something that's sort of maybe pushed under the rug. But how we even leaning towards legalizing marijuana, that's, or legalizing medicinal marijuana.
Yeah,
that's a big step for a conservative South Africa, right?
That's a huge step. And I think because, like, we live in such an idealistic country. Like, I feel like everybody looks at South Africa and they're like, oh, they have the perfect laws.
Yeah.
They got like, oh, look at that. Such an integrated society. Oh, my gosh. Like, 9 different languages in, like, one country. Oh, my gosh. And that's how I was getting lit up here, man.
Yeah.
Like, we getting rid of Afrikaans in universities, left, right, and center.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, we don't want 9 languages.
What?
Yeah, but it is, man. I was thinking about it because it would be interesting to see what South Africa would be like if marijuana was a legal thing.
Sure. It would be so trippy. Mm. But I mean, and the thing is, you know, you alluded to this, like, it's not a guarantee if you live in Mosses you'll get a job, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it is, and if I really think about it deeply, I mean, obviously there's Gareth here who studied law, never practiced a day of law in his life.
Yeah.
Right? We have Simpiwe, who was an engineer, couldn't care to, you know what I'm saying? Where's the same thing? So really now my question would be, what is the real value of education or formal education in 2016?
Yeah, that's the thing when it comes to education. I feel like, it's tricky because I think school does play an important role in your life. Like, I do think school and university does something good for people. You know, I think it teaches you how to structure your time, how to achieve certain small goals, how to start something and finish it, how to, you know, discipline yourself when it comes to an overload of work and that type of stuff. But at the same time, I kind of feel like it's not the be-all and end-all of your life. You know, people have made massive successes of themselves without studying anything. And that really comes down to the person. And like everything in life, everything comes down to the person. So is education the reason people succeed? I don't think so. Is education the reason people don't succeed? I don't think so. I think a lot of stuff, majority of everything that we do in our lives comes down to the type of people we are and how willing we are to pursue what it is we want.
So essentially all we want is just the rack city, rack, rack. Huh?
That's exactly what we need, right? Just rack city, rack, rack, rack city, bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I mean, I think it is a bit of a... It's such a mind-twisting thing, right?
Mm.
And it sort of proves how, as society, we just believe all the shit that's, like, shoved down our throats.
Yeah, most of the time.
Because essentially, your teachers will tell you, go to school and you'll get a job. Your parents tell you, go to school, you'll get a job.
Yeah.
You know, literally the whole of society. And it comes down to that phrase that you were saying, that just because the majority of the people think one way doesn't mean it's going to be true.
You see now, that's the thing. And that's what I think we should, that's how I think we should move, man. We should live our lives like that, knowing that what you believe might not be the truth. And you need to find the truth. You need to pursue the truth in everything that you do. Otherwise, we kind of start living off each other's hype. Don't be each other's hype men. Like, stop being each other's hype men. Let's all get together and figure out what's the right way to do things. And that might just be an idealistic statement and might not really happen. But I think if we think like that, we'd get further. We don't necessarily have to do it.
But if I think about it, though, right? If I look at it and I'm looking at you now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the music profession, right? I mean, you obviously manage a couple of artists, etc.
Yeah, Shane Eagle.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
But you didn't study that, did you?
Nah.
Because if you're going to tell your mama, I'm going to university
to study
music, shoot you in the face, right?
Yeah. My mom's a little bit different, but I think she would have been like, "Oh, what do you want to do? Like, teach people guitar?" You know what I'm saying? So it depends. It depends on your family. But I know that most people would think it's weird.
I think it's weird.
Yeah,
another thing that I think is weird, I think this place of Limpopo is quite a weird place. What do you think?
Limpopo is like Star Wars.
Because, I mean, we tried and we couldn't get people through.
Yeah,
but usually when we do these type of things, and I don't know why, Limpopo people are so proud of Limpopo. And I think it's such a shit place. Like, I've been there. There's nothing there. Like, I don't even know what people do for fun. There's, like, one mall, like, every 50, like, kilometer radius. Or you're going to go hang out in Moria there, ZCC, and drink some tea with no sugar.
Okay, okay.
Kat, please defend your province. Please defend your country.
First of all, it's cold as hell in here.
How
are you guys surviving? Vaughn, I can see you like shivering and you're shaking. You know, together it is cold as hell.
Jogging on the spot.
So it's this funny thing, right? They call it aircon. I know it's not in Limpopo yet.
Oh, goodness.
I think somebody might have mistaken
it
put on.
You know what?
That's fine.
Talk you should
me.
Be glad right now that I'm in a festive mood and I'm very happy.
Is
because if I was in another mood, listen, I'd be going in hard on you.
If you were in another mood, there'd be lightning in the studio. No clouds,
just
nothing.
Thank,
just,
yes.
Just lightning.
Just lightning. I just channel my ancestors to be like, no, let's target this one. You know?
That's hella. We drove to Louis Trichardt a couple of weeks ago for a gig. Louis Trichardt's in Limpopo, right? Yeah, it's PLK. It's off the PLK. Damn, bro. The road is hectic. And then we get there and there's like one road, one street in Louis Trichardt.
Yeah.
One street. There's one road where there's everything. Everything you might need is somewhere on that road, except like they don't have things like McDonald's there. And
But basically your spa is there, your petrol station would be
there's
there.
There's like a Barcelos, there's like a Shisanyama, like that type of thing, all on one road. I was like, damn. I asked the lady, I was like, how do I get there? She's like, left, straight. I was like, all
right. No, we're not complicated like that, man.
Yeah,
keep everything simple.
Simple.
You know?
Except we can't get onto Skype that side.
No, it's probably, there's a problem with Skype. It's not because she's in Limpopo. There's
sure.
a problem with Skype.
In general.
In general.
All right, now for you.
So tell me, Kat, so we've been reminiscing, right? We've been talking about 2016. Mm. Obviously, we're standing in for Gareth now, so we're taking back the land virtually.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. and then obviously we've taken over Touch's Hall, and so we've taken that as well. So that's also like virtually, right?
Right.
That's my highlight because I'm all about taking back the land. But in terms of your highlight, right? I'm all about taking it back.
You've been about taking the land back. You've been.
So with you, how was it 2016? Because I feel like you're never on this side of the mics.
No.
So I thought
it's
weird
being this side.
Right?
I like being in control. So when I'm this side, I'm like, I don't have control. And it's a very uncomfortable feeling.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're that chick?
Yeah, I'm that chick. I love it. Why are you like that?
That's such a Khoisa tendency, huh?
Because I am. I'm half Khoisa.
Now you're killing Lesego now. Now his highlights changed. His highlights of the years changed. Lesego is now officially in love.
No, let's not start rumors now.
Let's start them. I'll tweet it later. Don't worry.
That's a type of rumor you're not denying.
Nah. For what? For who? Nah, fam.
So
this is your highlights, right?
Yeah.
What was happening? Like, you came through.
My personal highlights?
Yeah.
Or just highlights in general?
No, your personal highlights. Because there's a lot of things that have been happening, right? So we've spoken about the country. We know what's been happening in the country. Mm. We know it was lit, right?
Yeah.
We know what's happening with Vaughn. Mm. We know what's happening with myself. What's happening with you?
My personal highlights would definitely have to be... I mean, in the beginning of 2016 was a very shit year for me. It wasn't so great, but I think it started picking up mid-June. So being mid-June, getting casted for The Queen, and then after that, being called to come on the show for Touch Central. So, I mean, for me, that was like my highlight of 2016.
So pretty much your highlight.
So it was just opening up doors for 2017. It was just like, okay, girl, we're getting you ready.
Your highlight was like...
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Yes!
That was your highlight.
That was my highlight.
That's dope though. Do you think 2016 has set you up for 2017?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm already receiving it from the universe, and I've already thanked the universe for it. I'm like, thank you, because this is what's gonna happen for me in 2017.
Like,
so
I need to get DS, hey. So I'll tell you me. So I'm like, I'm so
I'm
stingy.
DS.
Like, I'm such a banker. I'm
wait, you don't have DS. You just have SABC, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And
listen,
ETV.
We're doing so well now.
I'm just like, you don't have DSTV.
Yeah, me too, though.
So when we talk about...
I stream everything.
You stream everything?
Yeah, I'm just internet connected.
So
yeah.
You don't watch Date My Family?
No, I've never watched
W.
That.
You don't watch Isibaya?
Date My Family with O'Neill that walks out because he thinks he's Botswana here. I called him on the same day. I'm like, listen, yeah, I don't even have a TV, but I'm hearing about you, O'Neal.
Yeah, okay,
huh?
That wasn't...
Did O'Neal walk out of date?
Yeah, that was O'Neal's greatest moment.
That's crazy.
On
that's
OPW.
Funny.
I love it, O'Neal.
My perfect wedding. Is that... what is... Our perfect wedding. Our perfect wedding.
Yeah, our perfect wedding.
That's OPW.
Yeah, OPW.
Yeah, I've been seeing... That thing trends, right?
It does.
I've never seen an episode, though, because I just don't like...
You do not know what you're missing.
Right? That's what I've been
the
feeling
stuff
like.
Stuff that goes down there.
But because I'm on the internet, because I stream, like, I can't...
No, Vaughn. You need to switch things up. 2017, that's your goal. You, both of you, actually.
To watch OPW.
Yeah, watch OPW.
I'm going to do that.
I'm actually going to get on this. So, Queen.
Oh, damn.
Because I didn't know you were on the Queen. I actually had no idea. Is that the same thing that Mbali's on?
Mbali Nkosi, yes.
And I was with her now. She's been telling me... You actors. Okay, cool.
No, what do you mean?
Like, she doesn't give like a young shout out. Like, I'm like, how? I'm
you didn't ask her. You didn't ask her. Like, how? Do you want a shout out to any of your, you know, your fellow co actors? You didn't say a shout out, you know?
So, listen, so Vaughn and I have been talking about formal education, right? And Vaughn drops such a bomb. He's like, just because you have a master's doesn't mean you'll get a job, right? Which is true.
True.
So with you, so I'm guessing, when it comes to acting and all that type of stuff, so, and for example, I know Bohang, right?
Yeah.
We do both the thingies, pageants and stuff. I know he started quantity surveying.
Mm.
And then he decided, fuck it. And then he went into acting, right? And I've noticed a trend of that with a lot of the actors, anyone in media, actually, from radio to musicians. Namuzi did not study anything musical, anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And she's doing really well right now. Yeah.
So even with you, and especially in media, right? Because I'm guessing that you didn't study acting.
No.
I'm guessing, no, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
So how overrated is that education? I get so baffled when people tell me I'm studying acting and I'm like, really?
No, you know what it is.
Or maybe I'm just being ignorant. I don't know.
No. You're not being ignorant. I think it's the whole idea in terms of especially black families, there's this whole connotation that acting is not really a job, eh?
No, it's not.
It's not really a job. Like, you're not going to get paid very well, and your family has this whole perception that, no, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a doctor, and that's what you're going to study. And I mean, then we go into that whole phase where we're like, okay, we're going to study this, but it's not really something you really wanted. And also, there are people who later discover in life that, oh, this is actually one of my talents or one of my gifts, but I never could have the opportunity to study it, you know?
Somebody once made the point, they were saying that 18 or 17 or 18 is far too young to know what you
exactly
want to do with the rest of your life.
It really is.
They're like, it's a fundamental flaw.
It is. Because now you've got so much pressure that you're like, okay, pick. You need to go to varsity next year. Pick something that you want to study. And then you're just going on, oh, okay, I'm going to choose something that's probably going to get me a really good salary. But do I know about what I'm entering into? You know, like I made that mistake as well. I mean, my mom was like, no, you need to go study. And I was like, okay, but I don't necessarily know what I need to study and or what I want to study. And she was like, you're not taking a gap year.
Yeah, because parents don't believe in black years.
What are you going to do for a year?
It's against our culture.
It is against our culture. Like, what are you going to do for a year? Sit around and do nothing. So she's like, no, you are going to study. And I was like, okay, fine. Let me go for marketing. Did I know what marketing had? No, no. When I got into the first semester, I got in there, and then there was accounting. And I was like, shit, no. I was like, hells no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not good with numbers. There's accounting and marketing. I'm like, how? I'm like, after that first semester,
you're like,
I didn't
over.
Even, listen, came my marketing, I mean, my accounting exam.
Yes.
I was like, hells no. I even texted my mom. I'm like, listen, I'm not writing this exam. I've officially left. I'm done. I am not going, I'm not doing marketing. So, next year, I'm going to study a BA in fashion. So thanks very much. But I was like, I'm not
Shout
going
out.
To. I am
even,
not even going
I even
to
dropped the bed music, but what I think I need to do for that is just.
I feel you though. Because, like, it's crazy what we perceive things as and then what they really are.
Yeah.
Like, even when you. Like, I've been working in the marketing world for a long time, and it's cool. Like, it's a bit of more of a creative space than most like, office jobs or corporate jobs, but still, like it's crazy how in the marketing space they'll say, okay, be creative and come up with solutions to market this brand. Then you come up with creative and different solutions to market the brand or to, you know, build the brand, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, but not like that, guys. Don't go there. Like, just keep it here, keep it in this space. And that where they keep it is like controlled, analytical, numbers driven, painful. You know what I'm saying? It's like do you want creatives or do you want people just to follow your instruction? Because what were you looking for?
So this is a bit of a scary thought that I'm having here, right?
Okay.
So Majority of the shows that we have here, every time I see people in the studio, I realize that they've either changed careers either twice or three times. So Vaughan used to be a marketer, is no longer a marketer.
Well, I am, but I'm not employed as a marketer. I still work. I still got clients that I that I run for myself. Yeah. That my own.
So you're still exercising that skill.
Yeah, I do still do creative strategy and stuff. Well, that's one of my businesses. When I got a big client that I work with on that. But I'm not like employed as a strategist anymore. Just like, and I kind of see it like this. Like, it's crazy. Like how I see my life. I see my life as my business is me and what I can offer. And then it doesn't really matter what the classification of that is. But yeah, my ideas and stuff still live.
I studied industrial and systems engineering. Mm-hmm. I've never referred to a single textbook since I've started working.
Simpure 2.
Weza as well. Simpure went through like 3 jobs in 1 year.
Wow.
At a point. For me, I'm giving myself like another year or two years in corporate and I'll be out. And I'll be done.
And then what you going to do?
Do my own thing.
What is your own
Makes
thing?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I can't say it actually. I can. So I told myself, right, I'll only be fully an entrepreneur, right, once my entrepreneurial endeavors make me 4 times what I'm making in corporate.
Sure.
4 times.
Yeah.
The reason being because as an entrepreneur, it's ebb and flow, right? Because you're going after contracts, you're going after, if it's a tenderpreneur, you're going after those things. But it's ebb and flow because these things start and end.
Yeah.
So if you can have the security, and that's why I'm saying not double, but rather 4 times what I'm earning in a steady income, then only will I consider it.
It's a very limiting, like, criteria you set yourself. Though,
I'm an engineer,
like,
yeah. It's like,
I've got those dots, and I'm gonna only play fucking hit that bullseye, like.
Like literally, like.
That's good. You're setting yourself a goal and a target, and you know that if you're leaving, that's what you're gonna leave for.
And the thing is, in 10 years, I need to get that 15-bedroom monstrosity in the middle of Sandhurst.
Yes.
So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get the monstrosity in Sandhurst, and you're like, I'm not in Ndebele, right?
Yeah.
But because I want them to know that I'm a ducky, I'm gonna have those Ndebele paintings on my wall that are so bright, so they have no choice but to know that okay, there's a ducky here. You know what I mean? And I want them to have that feel, that
It's him.
They're here now.
But that government money.
Honey, we need to pack. Yeah. We need to go.
I want them to have that feeling.
They're here now. Oh, they're coming for Sandhurst.
So, I mean, I'm interviewing you, right? 8 o'clock. Ayanda MVP should be coming anytime soon now.
Cool guy. Is it a guy or a girl?
Check. We're going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen. It's a girl.
Yeah,
no, you know
MVP
what? I'm thinking of someone else.
I am MVP from YFM.
He's thinking about Ayanda from Limpopo, no? That homeboy.
I'm going to let you slide.
So we're going to speak to her because, I mean, I studied with her and I know what she's studying and what she's doing are two completely different things.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's even studying further, which is like mind-boggling for me. But obviously, she has her own reasons. Yeah.
That's dope.
But you know what? I've come to realize that life doesn't have a formula to it.
Oof.
Dude.
There is no formula to life. Yeah. There are no rules to life.
There's no blueprint.
Yeah. And you can't necessarily say that you are planning for life because your plans will change. That's what I've learned.
Life will laugh at your ass.
It will so laugh. Listen, I thought I was going to be married by now.
Sure.
And have like my first 2 kids.
That's how you out here.
No, this time I'm out here. I'm single.
You out here for real.
No, babe. I'm like, hey, you know. So for reals, yeah.
It's crazy. And then you met Lesego, and now it's like.
I'm meeting, you know, you guys all the time, you know. So.
I hear you. Like, I also think, like, while you're busy making plans, life is figuring out how they're
going to. Life
gonna,
is like,
come on.
Oh, you're making plans. Oh, this is what you. Oh, okay, this is what
you don't respect me.
You don't respect. Okay. Yeah.
It's true. I think being open to the outcomes is an important thing.
Why is it? And I know I'm diverting here a little bit, but like with so there's a quarter life crisis, right?
Yes.
We all know about.
Yes.
But I feel like with women it's so much more intense, because there's yes I need to be successful, but yes I must be married, but yes I must have 2 kids.
Yeah.
Like what is that? Like
because,
I would lose my mind.
Because like let's go, like I don't want to be having my first child when I'm 35. That could be viable for you, but not for me.
Makes sense.
Because you know me now, time is not on my side here. You know, my eggs and my womb is like, girl, you need to rush it. You need to get it going. You need to pop that first baby out.
Do you think that's going to affect the decision you make on choosing a life partner?
Yes, it does. As much as it's going to sound very conceited right now.
Yes.
But, I'm like, my baby's going to have that good hair.
Ash.
You know?
Okay, okay.
I don't want
okay.
my baby to struggle.
Okay.
I want my baby to have that good hair.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm like, if I meet you and you're my life partner, I'm really thinking
what baby
your hair. It? I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm looking at you, okay? If you and I combine, is the hair going to look good? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I go on to the skin complexion and I'm like, I will not date a guy that's darker than me. I will not. I rebuke that in the name of the Lord. I will not.
Even if it's like Idris Elba?
Yeah. I love you from afar. That's all right. But you and I are not going to have babies.
I feel, you know, I've got a friend who says the same thing. He's like, I don't want to date a girl darker than me.
Yeah.
And he's also talking about like the hair. So that's like, that's crazy because, so you've got like a bit of a filter already.
Mm.
So already you can check what's going on and be like, not life partner.
Yeah. If you're shorter than me, pass, there's a door.
Yo!
No matter how much of a nice guy he is,
there's a door. There's the door.
Okay,
I will not date this guy.
That's me, Dan.
There is the door.
Okay,
I am not
cool.
about that in life.
And they make them another way in Limpopo, bro.
I'm just going to play this bad music.
And I will not date. I will never get married to a Xhosa or a Zulu man. Never! Never! Today, I'm telling you, I will never. Zulu or Xhosa. Sorry, y'all can miss me on that.
What, are they too controlling?
Yes. Listen, I've been with the Zulu man. No! Showed me flames, eh?
Take it.
Like,
it comes from a good place, though,
like,
I promise.
Yo, you can see.
No,
comes,
guys.
That comes from a real experience.
Like, I can tell you a story. I don't want a Zulu man. And this has happened twice. Twice. At first, I thought, no, maybe it was the guy.
But then you realized.
And then it was the guy. And then I had dated another guy. And I was like, no. I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
It's a Zulu thing.
It's a Zulu thing. And then Xhosa, guys, as fine as you are, as fine as y'all are, no.
But clearly there's something that attracts you to them. If you've burnt your hand twice, clearly there's something that attracts you to them.
No. The first time, you know what? It's so misleading. Because the first time I'm like, I didn't even know that they were Zulu.
Mm.
And then I'm like, how? You know, while we're dating, in between the relationship, oh, can't you're Zulu?
No.
I'm like, okay.
And then you're already in there. So
and
it's so difficult. It was
so difficult
to
like pull back and be like, shit. I'm like, girl, we're in. Yeah, we need you to stay. So I was like, okay. And then, brother started revealing the Zulu nature in him.
But you know, is this not very superficial of us, though? Because, like, no matter how much of a nice guy they are, no matter how successful they are, you know, if I'm this short, Zulu, dark guy with bad hair, it's a
game
rap.
Over. It's a wrap.
Wow.
Please, don't even. It's a wrap.
Wow.
But you can take comfort in knowing that there's somebody out there
for you. Yeah, someone, yeah. Yeah, you might check all the boxes for somebody, but not for me.
You feel me? Like, cats, like, hell no.
No.
No chance.
But
I think, in a way, we all like that, though. Let's be honest. Like, one thing 2016 showed me is that, like, people kind of know what they want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People know what they want when it comes to quite a few things now. Even, like, young people in business, people in politics, people with their girlfriends. Damn, bro, people are, like, people seriously know what they want. They can drop a relationship of 4 or 5 years because they feel like, this is not what I want.
Mm.
Done.
Yeah.
They can move to someone else because it's what they want. You feel me? And I think, in a way, that's a good way to live because it's your life.
No,
you know what
it
I'm
is.
Saying?
It is.
Like,
it
if
is
you please
life,
me,
it?
If you
yeah.
if you please me, it's not going to make you happy.
Mm.
You got to please you. So, do your thing. Like.
When I think about it, right, I think essentially we're all being selfish here because you know the type of person you want. You know the type of person you want.
I have an idea, but that might change.
I know who I want, but I know who I want indirectly. So, here's my problem. I want to get married at 35 and have my first kid at 40.
Okay. Yeah.
Which therefore means by default.
Wait. How old will this woman be by the time you are 40?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. By default, my wife will probably be 5 or 10 years younger than me.
Yeah,
you see, exactly.
By default.
Mine too,
for sure. Yeah.
I want to have a younger, like much younger wife. My wife probably like.
Is it high school?
5, 7 years.
5, 7 years younger than you.
Yeah, somewhere there. 5, 7. Like if she's 20 now, 21 now, like we cool. That's 5 years, 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Okay.
You know why? Look, I tell you also what my theory is. My theory is that, you know, these young girls and these young dudes who are 20, 21 now are actually like 25, 26 year olds of our generation, of like the early 90s.
Mm.
If you're born in 1990 and you meet someone that's born in 96, the conversations you have and the way you can interact is a lot different to when you were 20 and 21 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not on they're not on the same level. They're on like 5 years ahead because of the fact that when they were 12, they had YouTube, they had Facebook, they had all these social media platforms, which exposed them to so much. So in a way, they matured quicker than we did because we only had those things when we turned 18. So
yeah.
like our for, from from like 1 to 18, we were just left with ourselves and our friends and our just like SMSs. And we weren't exposed to much. The TV, the radio is where we got our information. Mm. These guys are like 12 years old, reading and getting exposed to all the stuff that we're getting exposed to at 18. So that like technology really shortened that maturity phase. And they are a lot more... They know exactly what they want. These kids in 95, 96, 97, it's crazy. And they're also able to have like fairly good...
Gosh, I'm already calculating. Gosh, I'm so old now.
Conversations, yeah. So I realized that. So I'm like, I'm cool with like a... I'm way cool with the young girl because she's probably not as young as I think she is in her mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for a girl and a guy, that's a little bit different.
That's different, yeah.
You can't be like, oh, I really want a guy who's like 8 years younger than me.
Hell no. No,
that gets
very tricky because already I'm like, is he on the same wavelength as me? Because I'm like ready to settle down at some point. He's like, no, I'm still living it up. You know, I'm not really sure if I want to be with you, but I want to be with you.
Yeah.
But I still want to explore you, but no, I don't, you know. So I'm like, no, mm-mm.
But that's true. It makes it like it's kind of unfair for girls these days because there's so many things that determine the person you're with. Like, first of all, your preference, your personal mm-hmm. taste. Then second of all, like the inevitable things, like is this guy too young?
Mm.
Is this guy of a certain religion? Is this guy of... And all these things really affect a woman's life because it's usually the woman that needs to convert if it's a religion. It's usually the woman that needs to succumb if it's a cultural thing. It's usually, you know, the woman that gets shunned if he's younger. So it's like, it's so difficult to... You guys like don't have like a wide pool like where Lesego can say.
No, don't.
Lesego can say I want like a 10 years younger
than
me.
Yeah, he can say I want to have a baby at 40.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I want to have a baby at 40.
It's impossible.
Because already I've got complications that are gonna come through.
But
if you I have
got
a baby
dream,
at 40.
And you got dreams too. To
actually,
you know?
It's male privilege. I'm sorry, it's such a real thing.
It is.
It's such a real thing.
It's actually sad though. Sad, bro. Make me sad in the morning like this.
Alright, cool. So listen up. I just want to know, right? So, one, we all know we're superficial.
Yes.
Right? We're not going to pretend about this.
No, we're
right?
not.
One thing, we all know what we think our ideal person is going to be.
Mm.
However, one thing that I've noticed, right? Perhaps it's just in my environment. Usually, people get married twice. Usually, they get married the first time around to the love of their lives and they see flames.
Yeah.
And then they get married to a person that's completely different to what they thought they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
That they would end up with. Do you think that will ever happen to you?
I'd hope not.
Wow.
I don't want to get married twice. I want to get married once.
Shout
out. I mean, I don't want to get into a marriage knowing that I'm going to divorce this person. And no, I want to just get married. And when we get married, I want to be like, this is our 30th anniversary. You know, no. I'm not about getting married twice.
You know what? Let me, I'm going to do this real quick, right? I'm going to switch this thing up real quick. So, obviously, we have one female here, Kat, because there's too much testosterone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to balance this out, right? So, we tried Limpopo. We couldn't get through, right? If this doesn't go through, then we know the problem is the line and not the area.
Yeah, it's probably the line.
It's probably the line,
probably
right?
Probably the line.
Okay, cool. So, I've got producer Rose in the line, right? Let's see if we can get hold of her. Rose. Hello, Rose.
It's the line.
Oh, it's the line.
I had to tell you.
Damn, I was really enjoying
it. So annoying.
Y'all was so ready to go in on my Limpopo people. It ain't from Limpopo. It's the line.
I was
sorry.
Enjoying the Limpopo jokes, though.
Oh, this sucks. Okay, cool. Because I've been speaking to this with Rose, right? Mm. In terms of what does she think? What does she envision?
You and Rose have been spending a lot of time together, huh?
She's really cool.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I gotta
feel you on that.
You feel me, right?
I feel you on that, Kat.
Right?
I gotta get into this. I gotta own this, like, legally.
Yeah, that's heavy.
What's going on between you and Rose?
No, it's nothing like that.
Why are you blushing? No, stop blushing.
It's getting rough now.
Can I just switch off a mic, basically? There you go. Can I see where this is going, huh? I got the power now, huh? You think you're in control, huh? You think you're in control, huh? I'll put you back on because you're behaving. So essentially, so listen, Kat. So I mean, this is my last show, obviously. I'm going to Mozambique tonight.
Oh, nice.
Vaughn will be here. Hey?
I'm saying you must enjoy it.
I will. Vaughn will be here. Hopefully, when I go to Mozambique, I'll find something exotic.
Mm.
And we can...
But you know, that's what all men...
A young, exotic thing.
Yeah. Hey, but in Mozambique...
With good hair. Right.
You you need that good hair. Mm. Listen.
You can come right in Mozambique. There's fire that side. There's hella fire.
That's just male privilege speaking.
No, I'm for real, bro. Like think about like African Portuguese people, like in that in a sense where they live on an island. That's
would you go that far?
That's fire, though.
What?
To another country. If your man was born in Tunisia and he's Tunisian and he's everything that you want,
I can't
would you
say
go that far.
Can't say he's got, if he's got good hair and he's lighter than me.
Yeah,
I'll
go for it.
Would you go for it?
Yeah.
So no
lighter
xenophobia.
No xenophobia.
Okay, cool.
Lighter
okay.
than me. Got good
I'm
hair.
Happy. I'm happy.
Taller than me.
I. You're in the bag, dog.
You're there.
You can stand in lines. You can pick. Hey.
All right, cool. So fine. Basically, we're going to try this line again, right? And then you can ask Rose yourself what's going on. Hello, Rose. Rose. Work with me. Oh, she died.
Yeah.
I heard.
So this is how it sounds like when you speak to something from outer space.
Can you just keep speaking. We're just distorting here. Oh, wow. No, we're not even going to. Okay, it's done.
We can't even make out what you're saying there, Rose.
I apologize, guys. We really tried to make this thing work, but clearly our system is in December mode as well.
It definitely
right?
is.
We all are in December mode.
We all are. What
are
you doing for December? I never asked you. I'm so rude.
I am working. Hello.
Are you working?
I'm working.
Are you slaying?
Yes. Kat's been in the studio since.
And I said this at the beginning of the show. Everybody that I know from the media industry that's in media is not going on holiday.
Yeah.
It's only like
the time to work.
It's only like it is like me in a 9-to-5 that are taking a break. But you guys just bash on through the year.
Yeah. No, we work. We'll go on holiday like February, March.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
when things are chilled and it's calmer, you know.
Yeah. Because if you look at the time, Vaughn, I mean, we're supposed to have Ayanda, right? But clearly she must be working or something's going on, right?
Yeah, but I told you, dog. Like, you're going
to
probably...
Oh, she's running late.
She's hella late. And then we're supposed to have Shane
should be coming through now,
too. Oh, Big Star is really cool.
Yeah,
really
Big Star, cool. too dope. But no, that's what I was telling this guy. The only rappers you can rely on when it comes to time, the only rapper you can rely on when it comes to time is Fikile Mbalula, because the rest of them don't show up, though. Like, the only guy
who's... You don't know Fikile's a rapper?
You don't know Fikile?
He's a rapper?
Oh, yo, hey. Haven't you seen Fikile's dress code?
You don't even know.
He's a rapper?
You don't even know.
That guy's hip-hop.
No, as far as I remember, it was a DJ.
No, he's all of them.
He's everything.
He's DJ Mbawizi.
He's everything.
Fikile is my favorite. Wow. My favorite rapper in the world.
He's the MVP.
He's the only dude that comes on time. So we're probably gonna see this show out ourselves. So
because now my question is, now how does Gareth get the guys in?
Gareth has
power.
Yeah, it's Gareth.
Let's understand. Gareth has power. When Gareth speaks or Gareth summons you, you shall arrive.
You must take that power.
Yeah.
You shall arrive.
Take
you
that
will come.
And we must take it along with the horn.
Excuse me, no, you cannot take the horn, okay?
I'm taking it all.
It's
and you can tell them.
It's copyrighted, please.
Rose can tell her brother, I'm taking
please?
The horn. It's fine.
You will
no
not
issue.
Take the horn.
Rose
you want
tell,
a lawsuit?
Rose
please?
Can tell her brother.
Ash.
As I take it for the land. Okay, cool. It's fine. So, Kaz, I mean, you're very professional. Thank you for coming out. Because, I mean, we saw
well,
you.
Because I'm next door.
I know. We saw you at the window, and I was like, let me hijack Kaz, because we have no one here, because people are just sleeping.
When
What's going on?
When we call Kat, when we summon Kat, she comes.
Excuse you. You just watch your tone or what you say to me.
Yeah, my bad.
So, realistically, Kaz, moving forward, what's going on? Because you know next year you're going to be busy.
Yes.
And if you find someone next year, and they're like, yo, listen, so, those two kids, what's going on? I don't think it's realistic. Do you think it's realistic?
What? That?
If you find the guy tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he says, next year, let's go full force, get married, let's do everything, would you do it?
Hell yeah. Why are you saying it's not realistic? No, don't you dare. That's your issues. You have your own. You don't want to get married now. You want to get married when you're 35 get kids
so,
when you're 40.
So when I ask,
Nina, if a guy comes through
tomorrow,
and we know each other, listen, there are no rules in life, especially when it comes to relationships. I've learned that. I can be in a 3-year relationship and someone not love me. And I can be in a 1-month relationship and the person thinks the world of me.
Would you sacrifice your...
This is what floats your boat, man.
Would you sacrifice your career for family?
Why would I sacrifice my career? Why can't I work around my career?
Perhaps your career like needs you to maybe like... Well, perhaps your career needs more time from you. And the reason why I'm saying this is that, you know, you'll find, especially in this corporate sphere, a lot of the guys struggle to balance the two.
Mm.
So my question is, would you... And I think it's a realistic question. Would you choose family over career? For me, myself, I'll be honest, I'm not sure. Right now, I'm very selfish and it's all about me.
Well, I think right now I'd also be very selfish. I would be like, no, I'm not. can I just establish my career first?
So even,
right now,
so even your initial, you wish you'd had, even your initial plans of having kids and being married now is a flawed one then?
No, it's not a flawed one. It's because it's changed. That's
why. It's changed.
It's
true. And we all grow as people.
We all grow as people. And before, yes, I wanted to have kids at a certain age and get married. But then I evolved as a person and then I ended that relationship. And then I was like, okay, cool. Listen, let's focus on you, Kat. Let's focus on your career. And now that's changed. But I still do want to get married and have kids. Okay. So shout out to you, Bae, if you're out there. Okay.
Born?
For me, I want to have kids when I am 35. I'll probably try have my first kid around 35.
So if you meet Mrs. Wright tomorrow, it's
Mrs.
not going to happen.
Mrs. Wright. Yo, man, Mrs. Wright. you see, for me, time tells everything. So if I meet someone cool and we can kick it, that's cool. And then I think in time, like, we'll figure out if she's the one for me. Because, you know, people can say one thing, but people base a lot of their decisions and a lot of their commitments on situational things. So, like, because the situation is suited right now, it seems perfect. But let a situation switch up in 2 years and see who's down for you.
But, I mean, you're that's recently right. single, aren't you?
Me? Yeah. Like, so, yeah, about six months now.
So you're not really looking too eagerly at this point
in
time.
I've never looked eagerly in my life. I just let things, like, kind of, like, happen. I feel like if you just do your thing, man, and you, like, have your own vibe going.
So your only criteria for a chick is that she must be 6 years younger than you at least.
No. My girl must have, she must have opinions. I like people with thoughts, points of views. I like people that have, people that love themselves, people that are confident in themselves, people that, I don't care about what you want to become as long as you have dreams. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of person I want. Someone who can like, who's a mover.
That's very beautiful. Okay, now let's be
realistic.
Yeah.
So looks wise.
Thank you. Yeah. Looks wise. Let's be like in
that was like a Miss World answer.
Wow. Right.
You guys are funny, but it's true though. Like that's
fine.
Really...
Okay. Now let's be like properly materialistic. Okay. So what?
Gotta have a fat ass. She's gotta have a fat ass. She's she preferably. I like people that are of a different culture. I like a lot of foreign people. So it doesn't necessarily have to be foreign. Like you need to come from another country, but you can have different blood in you. You can have a different culture. You can be a colored girl. You can be a black girl. You can be anything that I find. You can be anything that I find. Interesting and adds flavor,
different
flavor to my life. Yeah, because I feel like imagine marrying a white South African girl. Oh, come on, that's tiring.
What's wrong with white South African?
Nothing's wrong with them.
They're not different enough.
Nothing's wrong with them. I'm not saying anything wrong with them. I'm just saying me personally. If you ask me to be a superficial dick, then I'm gonna say I don't generally go for a lot of white South African girls. In fact, all my girlfriends have been foreign blooded, like Italian, Portuguese, Armenian, colored. Yeah, that's sort of what I've always been interested in because I like to have different flavors, especially when I'm a white South African with a like cultureless background.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So it adds some dimensions to your life.
Do you agree, Kat? Does this criteria make sense?
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
Okay, good. Kat's out here waiting for me to say she needs to have good hair, light skin. Okay.
Yeah, because that's the truth. you need to, you know.
I told you, she got to have fat ass. She got to have fat ass.
If I look at all my past relationships, literally, no two of my exes are the same. Like they
all switched it up. You
literally and unwillingly so even. The only thing they all have in common is that they're well spoken. You know, they can think for themselves.
Yeah.
They're not those I hate these like giggly girls that are always happy. what do you mean you're happy all the time? Like that generally annoys me.
Yeah, get moody one
time. Why are they happy?
Or like those really churchy girls, they're like always smiling and like praise the Lord. Like I hate those girls.
Yeah.
I just adversity, like they used to come to me and I'd be like, yo, don't even. Like don't even. Like you and I don't even.
Yeah. But I get you on that though.
Like what do you mean? Like we all get to some point in life when we're like, oh God, like please like help me out here. I'm going through some shit.
Yeah.
When you're just smiling here from ear to ear.
Yes, because her joy 24/7. Comes from the strength of the Lord.
Jeez.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Sounds like something that would
say. So, Kat, we're on a mission basically to find you because you don't care if the man comes tomorrow.
What makes you think I don't have a man right now?
Kat, I'm here tomorrow.
Excuse yo. Shit. Do you know who I spent Christmas with?
Huh? Hello. What? Wow.
Yeah, that's where did you spend Christmas though? Was it dope?
No, I also wanted to know.
Christmas was amazing. Okay.
Oh,
it was both naughty and nice.
Take it then.
That's such a classic chick to say. That is say. Just by the way, I'm getting flashbacks.
That's how I spent Christmas with my brother. Watching Rick and Morty.
Okay, guys, we've covered relationships enough. We know what has happened to you this year.
Yeah.
What are you planning? What do you envision happening in 2017? Because maybe like I must be your friend, then I can be like that Choza that goes with you everywhere and takes your pictures so you can put them on Instagram.
No, but then you must buy a camera.
Because you need a friend.
Yeah, I need a friend who's going to take pictures, but you must buy a camera. Let's be professional on that level, not on the phone, because there's a different quality, you know?
Even the editing,
everything.
This friendship is so demanding, no, Kat. I don't know if I can. Sure. Okay, cool. Listen. But, okay, vision 2017. Speak it to life. Okay, I'll be like some
Do you know what?
Speak it to life. There's power and death in the power of tongue.
You know what I've come to realize in life? That, in terms of what I want to do, my hustle, I tend to keep quiet because I feel that when I start speaking it or vocalizing it in like a public space, that certain things turn to be blocked. And this has happened. This has happened to me on numerous occasions until I learned. That's why I said 2016 in the beginning was very tough. And it taught me a lot about people as well and about me speaking out certain things that I want. And I know that people say you need to speak certain things into existence, but you need to be careful in the space that you speak it in.
That's true.
Because you can't speak it out here now. And then you wonder, halfway through 2017, and I'm like, but I said this, I wanted to do this. And then you're like, why did it happen? Because there's certain people out there who are blocking your dreams as well. As much as you are praying and you're speaking certain things to happen, people are counteracting and they're praying for certain things of yours not to happen. Because you've spoken, now they know, oh, this is what Kat wants to do. Okay, Lord, we come against that spirit of Kat that her dreams will not flourish, and I speak it into existence, and I don't want it to happen, and I what. So I don't speak.
Are these people from Limpopo that like do the lightning with no clouds?
Why must everybody who comes against something must be from Limpopo? No.
I don't know. It could be rumor has it.
No, it could be people from anywhere.
Rumor. Okay, cool. Fine.
Yeah. So I don't speak. Listen, I'm just going to have a good 2017. That's all you need to know about my life right now.
Shout out. That's all that
life,
matters.
Guys. It's life. I'm teaching you life lessons. People are out there. Yeah. I am teaching you life lessons. Be careful who you tell your dreams to, because not everybody is going to receive your dream.
Preach.
With a warm heart.
Preach, man.
You know what I'm saying? Not people are going to wish success on you. Some people are going to be like, no, I don't want her to succeed because I should be doing that. I should be better than her.
And it's those ugly people with the bad hair, ne?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. It could be the people with the good hair.
It could be the people with good hair and the pretty people, you know?
That's so tough. Now you must look after.
You know, it could be also family. You might think it's family. Family could be like, yeah, no, they're smiling. No, but it's the truth, guys.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's truth. You know, here you are saying, oh my gosh, Kazi, this is what's happening in my life. Oh my gosh, I want to do this. Kazi's like, oh, that's nice. Then she goes back and she's like,
and shows you flames.
She shows you flames, you know?
Vaughn?
It could be your aunts, it could be your grandparents, anybody. So you need to be careful.
What am I doing in 2017?
Yeah, what's the projection?
Projection for 2017, yo. You see, I agree with a lot of what Kat's saying. I kind of like to keep the energy inside of me, keep it delicious inside of me, feel me? And then let it come out like when it's ready. But I think my ideas for 2017 is to multiply what I achieved in the latter part of 2016. So like what I've done in 2016 up until now, so from about June I'd say, up until now, I'd like to continue that and multiply it. So we're going to be dropping, our first body of work, which I think is going to be like, it's going to make history. Yeah, I think it's going to make history. Like I say that one out there because I say that to people I meet, because I have it, because like I've heard it.
Yeah,
it's there already. We just need to give it to you. So I think that's gonna be a massive thing for us and for me personally too. I think just getting better at being a better businessman, figuring out how to be a better entrepreneur, and then also like I'd like to start becoming a better friend to friends that I haven't seen in a while.
That's yeah, like, you've been shit to me. You'd be a better friend.
That's like one thing I think I'd like to do. Like, it's cool to become a cool friend. Especially to people that you don't always see. Like, just to call them up, just to go and see them. Like, you know, I think it's important in our lives. We'll regret not doing that. So yeah, that's about enough I can tell you guys before I get bewitched.
Hey, Cat
believes in it.
Yeah, I believe in it. Trust me. You know, I've done things.
But
and then I've told people, and then they've just never materialized.
Mm.
You know?
It's supposed to stay inside until.
Stay inside.
I feel you. That's
no, let your success speak for you. Don't speak.
Yeah.
Don't. Let it all speak for you.
I feel you on that 100%. Yeah.
So I started the show, right? With Kanye.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I needed like some of the Kanye arrogance for today.
Okay.
With that being said, what I want to do in 2017. So. Four streams of income, right? So we're forcing the income from corporate will double. Because I told the guys, like, they must just make the thing double, right?
Okay. Right.
So I can get a vrpa.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You want a vrpa?
I do want a vrpa.
Okay.
So that must double. And then I would, if I can get like a 20% increase on the other three streams of income, I'll be happy. I'll be done.
Mm.
And I'm only saying that because, like, for me, numbers all I care. I'm very materialistic, and I'm okay with it. I don't want hugs. Give me money.
Yeah, food.
Literally, 20% increase, and I'll be happy.
All right.
Other than that, I haven't really planned anything, so it's not like there's anything I can keep inside.
Okay.
let's straight. I'm going to make more money. That's it.
That's it.
I mean, we all want to make more money.
Nah,
let's be honest with each other.
Nah, that's it.
Yeah, man.
And I know what I hate. I hate people that are always like, I hate when people say this. Like, it's not all about the money. Like, money doesn't bring you happiness. Like,
point of correction.
And then you'll have like these executives, right? And I hate them. They'll be like, you know what? The happiest time I was when I had like no money. And I'm like, okay, then give me all your money then. And then
go back to
being happy.
Yeah.
I hate when people like glamorize poverty or brokenness.
Yeah, it is. But I think there's other lessons that they try and like maybe bring to you there. You know what I'm saying? Like there's other lessons that people that they try and teach you. There's other lessons they try and teach you with that. They're trying to say like, don't only base your happiness on the state of your income, which makes sense.
We don't care about them. All we know is that we want money and we want boyfriends that are light skinned, that have good hair. And what else? They have money. They should have money.
Yeah.
And they must be tall.
They must be tall.
And they must be sexy. And they must have like a six pack.
No, they don't need to have, not necessarily a six pack.
Like, it must just be yummy.
You know what's killing me? Kat's thinking about the guy she's with right now. She's like, does he have a six pack? I can't say that on air.
You were so right, because I was like, I'm like,
okay, Kat.
Shut up now.
Kat, you're a very busy woman, we understand. In between working and paying. We understand that you're going next door. It's fine. Yeah, no, I need to expose you because now you like you want to leave, and we don't want you to leave. But we have no right.
No, I need to go set up for my show as well.
No.
I need to make sure that on my side things are good.
And what time is your show? Give yourself a plug.
My show is at 9 o'clock at Touch Central, baby.
Holla back. And you obviously can stream free on MTN.
Absolutely.
We all know about that. Thank you very much, Cash.
Why did you say we all know about that in that tone?
No, because we all know. No, because it's like it's a well-known thing.
Oh,
like if you don't know, like if you're living on a rock, like you're Patrick, like you're.
Kat's very fussy about tone now. Eh?
No, dog. She's got a cousinness in her.
Yeah, I do. I told you, I'm half cousin and I'm Betty. So
from us to you, from us to you, Kat, which is all love and a lot of this. I'm so abusing that horn. I know it's too much, and I'm gonna keep doing it.
Shut up.
But I mean, you've been such a sport. Thank you very much.
I'm so going to tell a new untouched that you are using his horn.
Don't be like that.
I'm going to be that girl.
Don't be like that.
I'm going to be that girl. I'm trying to get brownie points from the boss.
Oh my gosh.
So I can get a raise. Okay. I'm like, oh my gosh, boss. So yeah, like I was on the central and they were using your horn.
Oh my
word. So I don't know.
This is the part where I do this and I switch off your mic because like
this is all
recorded and you. And this is all discriminating, but shout out. Thank you very much, Kat. We'll see you later.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Vaughn.
Yeah, bro. Back at it.
The one thing we know is that DJs are very busy, and we know that rappers are very busy because when you call them through for an interview, they're all sleeping.
Yeah, man. That's the one thing we should have always learned in 2016. Don't trust a rapper with time. Don't trust a DJ with time unless you're paying for it.
And don't trust rappers like...
In general. I know, man. Rappers are dope. Rappers are some of my best friends. In fact, rappers are my best friends.
So basically, don't trust Vaughn either.
Yeah, they don't trust me. Yeah, well, because I'm friends with the rappers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So for those of you that don't know, Kat does have a friend. Her name is Impure. She's taking a photo right now of all of us. Because that's what good friends do.
Yeah, Impure looks like she's happy, man.
Yeah.
Impure looks like she's happy, right?
I'd also be happy for us Kat's friends, Impure.
I'd also be. Kat says some other shit. But man. For me, I think, 2016, 2017 should be the year rappers come
to alive.
The interviews on time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I actually had this conversation with a couple of the guys, bro. I said to them, I was like, yo, guys, this thing of coming late, we got to fix this thing, man. Like, we can't be rocking up to gigs 2 minutes before we got to jump on stage.
It's a habit. That's the problem.
Creative people keep doing that. Creative people keep coming late because it's like, I don't know, we have to push our limits.
It's like you expect it. But let me tell you, I actually wanted to ask something, right? So when Shane and Thingy came, I can ask him a couple of questions, but I'll ask you because I mean, you're in the industry, right?
Yeah, hit me up. What's up?
In terms of hip hop and rap, right? Are the guys, I don't know, is it fundamental to be hardcore? I feel like there's a lot of pretentiousness.
Yeah.
To hip hop and rap, like dude, I'll shoot you 5 times. Like, you haven't never shot nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's like, is it really necessary?
Nah, I think. See, hip hop and rap music's become multifaceted. Like, there's so many different approaches that a lot of rappers have taken now. You know, you got like Chance the Rapper, who's got like a gospel feel and a very non-gangster feel, and then you got guys like J. Cole, who's got a very political, very social feel.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to come across as hardcore. It just depends on what your subject matter is and actually what the type of person you are. You can be any type of way if you execute it in a way that people can relate, you know.
I think, because, I mean, I love Kanye, right? I'm not even going to...
Yeah, Kanye's fire, bro.
Kanye's fire.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kanye, too.
But, I mean, if I look at Kanye and you know, listen to the song in the back here, I mean, Ross is hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I look at it and I really question these guys to say, like, do you know, is it really true, the thing that you're talking about?
Nah,
I don't know if it's so... And especially in a South African context, right? I mean, it's not like we're like there's no Compton here. We're not very gang affiliated unless like in Cape Town and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But we're not very gang affiliated. Some of the guys went to university. They grew up in proper households.
Yeah.
But my thing is, are they not like almost assimilating to the guys in the US because they think it's something that's like acceptable?
Yeah. So South Africans do tend to assimilate to the US, but I think it's because that's where the hip hop culture was born, so it's natural for that to happen. I don't think it's something that should be overly criticized because I think it's a natural thing. It comes from there, so people obviously understand it like that.
Yeah.
In South Africa, we're starting to find our voice in it. We're starting to find our place in hip hop, or our place in this whole big this big world of music. We're slowly moving into our space, and I think there's a lot of young South Africans right now that are making music that are talented, man, very talented on the level that we like to listen to in the US. So watch the next five to 10 years in South African music, specifically hip hop. Watch it grow to a point where we don't recognize the difference between what's happening there and what's happening here, just because of the exposure, because of the maturity of the culture of hip hop. Like, South African hip hop is in a very immature phase. We don't have a mature hip hop culture yet. We're very schizophrenic in our sounds, and we're very
Because everybody's doing trap now, right?
Yeah, and watch it change. It'll switch up. Eventually, it's going to switch up. It's just like we go through these little waves, you know. But it's going to come around, bro, pretty soon. And I think when you're going to hear our mixtape next year, everything's going to change.
It's going to be fire.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So tell me, so we all know about the top five rappers of this year, right? What's your prediction for top five rappers next year?
Top five rappers next year?
Yeah.
In South Africa or in the world?
In South Africa.
In South Africa. Top five next year in South Africa. I'm going to say...
And in order, right? From 5 to 1.
Oh, okay. From 5 to 1. Damn. This is a tough question, man. I've got to think of five rappers that I actually think are dope.
hold on. Because all the shots fired. I saw that as soon as I can just find this thing, because I see the touch keeps hiding it.
Okay. Nah, I'm playing. I'm going to say, going into 2017, who will be the top five?
At the end of 2017,
who's going to be the top five rappers?
Yeah, and in order.
Okay, cool. Let me say, I'll probably have to go with...
So this is number five spot.
Yeah, number five spot. I'm going to probably say Casper.
Whoa.
I'm going to say AKA.
Whoa.
I will say Maluma Cool Cat. I will say... No, wait. I'm even tripping. I'm going to say... I'm going to go Casper. No, yeah, I'm going to go AKA Casper. You know what? I could even leave it there. You know what, bro? To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the majority of the country is going to do. I'm trying to think of what I think. I was throwing names in there because I think that's what the country is going to think. I think MT, Aries. MT, Aries, Nasty C.
Yeah.
Nasty C, Frank Casino, and Shane Eagle. That's what I think.
So pretty much what you're saying is that Casper and AK will not be in that list.
Yeah, I don't
and
think.
And KO.
Yeah. Casper KO, AKA, and Cool Cat. I don't see them amongst the best MCs of 2017. I think the best MCs of 2017 are going to be MT for his wave. It'll probably be Aries for the wave and for the hype that he's built around himself. And Nasty C because he's been fairly solid in his reach and his what he's put out, you know, to the fans. And then I think Frank Casino, because people don't understand Frank Casino yet, and when they understand Frank Casino, it's going to be too late. And then Shane Eagle, because, bro, Shane Eagle is undisputedly the best rapper in the country, dog.
Three of them, so you get it straight, man.
Do you know what I'm saying? Your favorite rapper.
Say it again.
Your favorite rapper's favorite rapper cannot rap with Shane Eagle, man. Trust me, the boy's fire.
What do you say? These rappers can't pay their rent, therefore?
I don't trip when they pay no respect. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but that's what my slight prediction is. But I've got a couple of predictions that I've put out there. One or two look like they've come true. But I think you guys got to watch out for guys like Frank Casino. I mean, I didn't even put Pretty Ugly in there. Pretty Ugly is also fairly dope. He's got his own wave going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Big Star Johnson. Big Star Johnson's a dope rapper. You know, there's a lot of guys. Jimmy Wiz. I'm a hip-hop head and I'm a hip-hop fan. So before any commercial appeal, I look at if you have the bars. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the bars, bro. You got to be able to rap. I got to be able to throw on a beat and you must be able to rap, you know? Don't talk to me about making hits. Relax, man. No one can make hits, bro. These guys are making hits all day.
So, I mean, jeez, I don't know. I think the predictions that we've made now are... I think that's heavy, right?
Yeah, man.
I think that's intense.
No Casper, no Keenan.
Yeah. I think that's intense. But, I mean, so I was at a gig, right? I was at a gig with Ms. Prue, right? From Ambitious.
Yeah.
What do you think about Ambitious? I think no one saw them coming.
Yeah.
And I think now that they're here, it's too late.
Yeah.
And if it's to contrast them with someone like Mabala Noise, who just came with a bank because they had so much in the bank.
Yeah. Ambitious has bank. Yeah, Ambitious got bank.
They didn't come out just throwing money at everybody.
Yeah. They didn't come out.
I mean, they grew their artists.
Yeah, they signed the guys from like the come up. Yeah, they did do that.
What do you think their formula is? Because literally, every single artist they've put out has been fire.
Yeah, I think Ambitious. I don't think they necessarily had a formula when they started. I think when they signed MT and Roll Up, because they had found MT with some of those joints. When they signed MT, he had Roll Up already. He had all these songs already recorded.
Yeah.
He just needed someone to help him put it out and market it and whatnot, because he didn't do his own thing. So when that happened, they signed him and they got him in. and he joined the team.
And it was Fifi
Cooper. And then his music, literally his music, propelled Ambitious to a level where they could approach like a Reese and a Fifi and this and that.
Yeah.
And bring them under the same wing. So MT was a major part of this inverted commas formula. You know what I'm saying? Because MT really set the fire under Ambitious' ass because of his music, man. Because he dropped some hits, though.
People were always, somebody else that came up with so much fire was obviously Nasty. But, I mean, they came up at the same time, and people were always, like, comparing MT and Nasty. And even though, like, they're such fundamentally different rappers.
Yeah. MT's a trapper. MT's a trapper. He makes trap music.
Yeah.
Nasty's a bit of a switch up, though. Like, I wasn't a big fan of his album. Like, some of my type of music. But I get why it pops. But at the same time, it's like, that's Nasty's on something like Young Thug, like Young Thugger, like Uzi, Lil Yachty. Like, he seems to be wanting to catch that wave.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is this new wave trappy stuff. Trippy, trappy stuff, like, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does in 2017. But, yeah, man, I kind of feel like all these rappers are sons to Shane Eagle, bro. Shane Eagle's the dad of these boys.
Like,
for real,
the,
man.
Like the months of, bias.
Yeah. I'm hella biased, but it's not even like I'm biased. Like, I wouldn't gas anyone I'm not a fan of. This dude is dope. You know, there's a guy called Cly you got to watch out for as well. Cly's a vocalist slash, like, kind of doesn't rap, but he's like R&B vibes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You got to watch out for Cly. Watch out for Cly next year. Cly's going to have a big, big year in 2017.
Sick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put someone on blast right now. So an MVP, like, she just sent me, you know, a text saying that, you know, she couldn't make it today.
Oh, yeah?
Not happy, Ayanda. Not happy.
Ayanda, come on, man.
Not happy at all.
What's happening there, eh?
I'm going to drop this. Not happy at all. Alright, cool. We're over that though. December. Be happy, dog.
Yeah, you better take off on your holiday. You gotta chill out, man.
I gotta chill out. But you know, the second question I wanna ask, right? And yeah. Probably this is like some of the guys are probably asking themselves the most. What makes, especially like a rapper, what makes an artist blow up?
What makes them blow up?
Yeah.
The music. At the end of the day. It's like, what music you create, what you put out there is going to make you buzz or not. Good music, at the end of the day, bro, good music doesn't need marketing.
Swag.
Good music doesn't need promotion. It grows. It's like, take a look at J. Cole.
Yeah.
J. Cole went gold in a week. He never dropped a single. He never dropped any radio play. He gave his announcement a week before his album dropped. Yes, that's his marketing tactic now. I know that's a tactic he uses, which is, but when he first did that with Forest Hills Drive, that was never done before.
Yeah, but now it's like a signature thing.
Yeah, but because the music is good,
yeah,
he blows up, he gets the traction, he gets the downloads, he gets the income. I mean, bro, all 10 of his songs on For Your Eyes Only were in the top 40.
That's crazy.
All 10.
The whole album.
The whole album's the top 40. He went gold. He went gold in a week. He sold 511 units in a week.
500,000. Yeah, units.
511,000.
It's crazy.
That's proper, bro. It's proper numbers. That's more than these guys sell that are stunting on you.
Yeah.
These guys with big chains and wraiths and jets, they're selling 260,000-300,000 a week.
And I mean, because like I keep like, you know, I'm into rappers and all that.
Yeah.
And people always talking about, oh my gosh, like everything else, like the marketing tactic, the blah blah blah. And I'm like, dude, is your music that hot though?
Put out good music. That's what we keep saying. Like, we keep saying, like, our team.
Yeah.
At Eagle Entertainment, we believe that good music markets itself. Like, so instead of putting all our mind in, you know, we have our little campaigns that we're gonna do. Like, we've got our strategies.
Yeah.
But trust me, those strategies are just like little icing on the cake. The real stuff is that we cook up some real music, and real music cannot be denied, bro. Travels.
I think people need to start making excuses, basically. And just to say that if your stuff is not that hot, then it's not that hot. Then you gotta, like, you literally need to relook what you're putting out.
Exactly. Keep looking at that. That's the best attitude to have, bro. If you're not popping, take a look at what it is you're doing. Don't switch up what you're doing. Don't sell out. But, like, take the time to sort of analyze the situation in the game, analyze what you can do, and figure out a way to really portray that as accurate as possible, because people like authenticity, you know.
And you know what? If you guys need some bars, if you guys don't understand what we're talking about, there's pretty much only 5 minutes left, and I promised myself that I'd do that. So if you didn't catch us in the beginning, right? I pretty want you to listen to this and almost let us bless you, and then let us know what you think of this.
We're gonna close with this guy.
We're gonna close with this guy.
That's dope.
But we're gonna play the whole thing though.
Oh, for real?
I don't wanna play it right at the end, because then it might get cut. I'm gonna play the whole thing. And we'll obviously get back, and then we'll do a proper regards.
So okay, cool. Let's do that. It's like 2 minutes, yeah.
100%. Let's do it.
Sweet. I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Way too long. So let me express. What if we could have achieved things if only we asked? Like if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have broads in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? Or would they shoot me if I put my hands up? You see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. Cause I've seen them line up our Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me? Why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me, and I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. Because it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical, but all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. Woo! He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical, but it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles?
Why?
I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours. So I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own dreams. Because I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. But I've got the whole squad with me. And I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But pardon me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. For the poet.
Yeah, man, that's that poem actually is going to be dropped sometime soon. But it's on a different instrumental. I just had that instrumental in studio one day and just did it over that. But the instrumental is different. But that's a poem called... That poem is called Walt Disney.
So I mean, essentially... And, I mean, people have been asking you this for a while, right? Yeah, instead of dropping these things and making a video and all that type of thing. And having, like... What do they call it? Spoken word type of thing. Like, we need to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I dropped my first one. I dropped my first poem on SoundCloud. It's on my SoundCloud, V_TheEverything. You can check it out. It's called I See You. I'm going to do a few videos, though, next year for sure, bro. I got a couple of poems now, so now I can do the videos.
I think we need to drop some things in the studio.
You hear me?
I think we should go full tilt on these type of things, man. I think right now, I don't know, when I look at it, and I used to love things like the spoken word, right? And I always ask myself, like, why don't we have similar things in South Africa?
Yeah, we should, bro. But you know what? The thing is, there actually is a big culture for it, and there's a lot of talented South African writers and poets. I'm very inspired by a lot of them. We'll get to a stage where it's more widely known.
Yeah.
But I mean, the internet's made that easy. Watch next year. I'm going to drop one, two things, bro.
One, two things.
And I can see you will, because like, you're so tired right now. You've been like stretching the whole show.
I've been up. I only went to sleep at 3, bro.
What? Yeah,
we were in the studio last night. We were cooking up.
You see what I mean? Like, that's why I could never be a rapper.
It's tough, man. We were in the studio yesterday, so Shane was recording some stuff. We got to wrap up our mixtape, man. We got a couple of loose ends we got to tie up before, I'd say before mid-Jan, so we can get it mixed and mastered and clear our samples with all the international labels and stuff like that. So it gets tricky.
100%. So, I mean, listen, I've had a beautiful year. Nature's going to be great. You guys are going to see me only on social media.
Yeah.
It's at LSG underscore Mapanga on Twitter. Let's call Mapanga everywhere else.
You know what it is.
Yourself, Vaughn, where we want to catch you? Because, I mean, I'm out, man. I'm going to Mozambique.
Yeah, man. Lesotho's going to be out. Don't stress him. Let him live his life so he can come back and solve our banking problems. I'm going to be around. You can catch me tomorrow on the Unplugged Radio Show on Cliff Central. Catch me on Twitter, man. V underscore the everything. SoundCloud, V underscore the everything. Snapchat, Vaughn the Poet. Vaughn Thiel, everywhere else. You know what it is.
It's like, it's so crazy how like fast time flies, right?
It's crazy, bro. It's like 2 hours.
And I mean, like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, it's been 2 years. The show is gone. The year is gone.
Duh, we've been doing this thing for almost 3 years now. Fire.
Like,
straight fire.
Like, give us some respect.
Put some respect on my name.
For myself, to you guys, it's all love, Vaughn.
All love, man. See you guys. Well, I won't see you, but I'll hear from you tomorrow.
CliffCentral.com.